Thank you very much. God bless you all, and it's wonderful to have you here. It's always wonderful to be able to teach the word, and it's such a blessing to know of all you guys out on the phone lines, how you desire God's word and hunger for it, and how it goes out to you and heals your hearts and just blesses you so much. I wanted to share something very briefly before I start my teaching. You guys know it's something about the current times, okay? But you guys are watching all these developments across our country with the riots and the dissension regarding the unions and such. And I don't know if you've taken the time to look at it from a biblical perspective, but I would encourage you to do so. And there's just a couple verses I want to share in Acts chapter 7 and verse 5. It says, "But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto him certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people." And this is Acts chapter 17, verse 5. Anytime you see this type of activity, and this absolutely mirrors what's happening today, basically across the world, you know that there's devil spirits involved. The only way that this type of activity can ever be orchestrated to this degree is by spirits. So this is like a living advanced class of advanced spiritual principles. And if you take a moment to think about it, you'll realize that this is true. And so these same devil spirits that were bothering the people back then are alive and doing the same thing today. And it just doesn't change. It says then, verse 8, "And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go." And so these people, these spirits in these people do nothing but cause trouble, and they just keep doing it over and over and over. And if you read the next couple chapters of the book of Acts, you'll see several examples, but I'd like you to turn to chapter 19. And this is one of my favorites, because it really depicts how stupid these people are and what kind of pawns they are to these devil spirits that are possessing them. But in Acts chapter 19, this is talking about when they were arguing about Diana, the goddess of Ephesians, verse 28. "And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians." This was their goddess. "And the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater." Can you imagine just all these people going crazy, grabbing these guys and rushing into the theater? This is where they would meet for big discussions, and a lot of people could fit in there. "And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples said, Don't go, suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring that he would not adventure himself into the theater because it was so dangerous." And if you watch the news, you see pictures of this same kind of thing. It's total insanity. These people that are supposed to be normal people, they eat, they work, they play, then they go crazy. Something is wrong from a spiritual perspective, and that's what you need to recognize. You guys are innocent bystanders. You're just watching all this nonsense in the world. Your true citizenship is in the heavens. You're seated in the heavenlies, it says in Ephesians. So you're a bystander. You got to watch this junk, though, and it's good to understand it, and that's what we learn from God's word. Verse 32, "Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused." Now, if that doesn't depict all this, I don't know what does. There was a news report, these guys were saying one thing that they didn't believe in, and right behind them, it was happening. And they didn't even know it. And so it says, "For the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. They simply didn't even know why they were together. This is how insane these devil spirits caused the crowds to be. And I guarantee you that if you were to go into any one of these crowds and say, why are you here? They wouldn't even know. You might find one person, but most of them would say, well, I don't know. Somebody said, come. And they gave me $20. And that's it, okay? I'm just encouraging you to look at things from a spiritual perspective. Well, I've shared something, so I want you to share something. I want you to tell me what you believe today, okay? Do you believe that the Word of God says who you are? Well, tell me about it. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. ¿Y en español? Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. Thank you very much. I know some of you guys have tried to get in touch with me over the last weeks, and you've basically been met with futility. Apologize for that, but that's just the way it is because I had some surgery. But things are changing, so be patient and keep your prayers coming because that's what really matters. And I do appreciate those of you who tried. Today, I'd like to teach on expressions of the soul. And in this teaching, there will be a song, so don't be shocked when it comes on. So today, I'd like to teach on expressions of the soul. Ephesians 4 speaks loudly to soul expressions, specifically that we are to allow them to surge forward with all good emotions for the edifying of the body of Christ. This probably will be something new to those of you who are well entrenched in the study of the Scriptures. The worthy walk, the balanced Christian walk, must be rooted in God's Word and expressions of the soul. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. This is the worthy walk or the balanced walk of the vocation, the calling wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. These instructions follow on the heels of three jam-packed chapters full of doctrine. Ephesians doctrine, for that Christians seated in the heavenlies. These next three chapters teach how to practically apply that doctrine. And so that's the balance, the worthy walk between the doctrine and the practice. The specific soul expressions taught in verse 2 are lowliness, that means humbleness of mind, meekness, that means gentleness. You already know withholding of wrath from all of our agape teachings. And endurance of each other in love. This type of Christian walk, with these emotions at the forefront, will bring together all of the previous doctrine taught in chapters 1, 2, and 3 like never before. That's why they're there. That's why God had this written right there in between the doctrine and then the beginning of all that new information on practicing it. It will also yield in something else great and powerful. Verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Proper Christian soul expression will forge the way to keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is no other commandment whereby the unity of the Spirit will be so completely bonded in peace. Knowing this demands the utmost from each of us in terms of soul expression. Soul expression adequate for a Christian calling. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. These are the reasons we have the gift ministers in the church. Perhaps there is no greater task for these ministers of God's word than to ensure unity with peace. I'm only reading what's written. This cry for perfection among the saints takes place through proper edifying, thus bringing unity of the faith unlike any we've ever seen. Soul expression now becomes the banner of our march forward into the deeper and greater aspects of the Christian walk, and it remains with us until eternity. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. What's the context? In part, soul expression. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. When I teach God's word, I address either the body, the soul, or the spirit. Those are the three categories. This just happens to be the soul. And so as you learn this word of God, understand that it's okay to take time to focus on one of those three categories at any given time. It's wrong to neglect any one of those three. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. You know, when you think about joints, you know what your elbow does, and you know what your wrist does, and your knee, and your shoulder. You know that. But we're talking people here. I mean, you're sitting there by yourself, and you're sitting there by yourself, and everybody's their own entity. So there's no shoulder between us. But what is there between us? Well, we've got our thoughts, and we've got our emotions, and we've got spirit, Christ in us. We've got all the dynamics of those different things that could function properly if we know how to use them. And compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Somehow all of this has to work together. Let's call it unity. And let's call it bounded together by spirit and peace. All of this has to work together so that somehow we end up with, well, yes, we know it's figurative, but still a body. Somehow we end up with this functioning entity that really does work, that really can talk to itself and minister to itself and build itself up. And things can flow in between each of the members. Now, you know you're a member. That's easy enough. But things have to flow between you and other members. And so it's your soul, in part, that allows this. The soul is an integral part of the body of Christ, at least in the way it functions as we are humans today. You can't disavow it. You can say, no, it's only spiritual, and so we just walk around deaf, dumb, and mute, or something like that. I don't know. I don't know how you could disavow the soul, because we feel things, and God made us to feel things. And we're three-part creatures, body, soul, and spirit. So this is a big deal. It's a big deal to learn that expressions of the soul, as described in Ephesians chapter 4, will make or break the success of the edifying of the body of Christ and the unity of the Spirit, the unity of what God has created in you. Really something. The activities of edification include soul expression from the most committed of Christians. They require a sharp departure from childish ways and an adherence to the brilliant walk of agape. Only with this type of fine-tuned soul expression of agape and honed feelings of goodness can the body truly experience growth and edification along these Ephesians lines. The body can then minister to itself and build itself up to new and wonderful heights of grandeur. Verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Now, when you walk, there's a dynamics between your body and your soul and your spirit. None of them can be disavowed. In the vanity of their minds, we are not to walk as others do in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. It is my belief that if we don't understand this soul expression aspect that's taught in Ephesians, that we will become alienated from the life of God. God put His life in us. He designed us as soul creatures. We have our soul at our disposal to use or to disavow, which most people do. It's good to pause for thought. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Don't look at this description of people as something 2,000 years ago. Look at your neighbor. Look at your coworker. Look at the guy on the highway driving beside you. Look at the people in these crazy riots that I was talking about earlier. It's here, it's now, it's real. A dark and vain mind becomes one of the foremost enemies of Ephesians Christian. Vain and selfish thinking detracts and eventually destroys even the most fantastic efforts to bring peaceful bonds of unity to well-deserving Christians. We are warned of its dark power and carefully told to avoid it at all cost. A vain mind will lead to a darkened understanding and eventually a blind heart. But these are not the greatest dangers. There's one more terrible, if not atrocious, branding of the soul that takes the sport right out of the game. Verse 19. These people, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Feeling is the word apathetic. Who being apathetic, they no longer have feelings. Their souls are dead in that sense. They no longer express the good emotions, the tender emotions, the life force emotions that gender edification among other people. They don't have it anymore. They're dead that way. They've given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Please keep in mind that we haven't changed chapters or books of the Bible, and that the context remains the same. Unity. Bringing together. Edifying the body of Christ. Soul expression. So this is my greatest warning to you. Apathy. Avoid it at all cost. Do everything you can to alter the mental progression of vanity, selfishness, darkened understanding, and finally blindness of heart. Don't walk as those other people out there, most of those about us, down this slippery path of soul destruction. Don't prohibit and forbid magnificent Christian soul expressions, denying this glorious and noble way of life will surely thwart the efforts of those most noble Christians still determined to preserve the way of the true Christian walk. These folks, these apathetic ones, suppress their souls in favor of unclean works of the flesh, including greediness supported by their own over-desires. Boy, if that doesn't ring true today. Greediness? What's driving these riots today? Across the world. You see it everywhere. It's greediness. Oh my gosh. A Christian is not supposed to be like this. Rather, he is to be Christ-minded. He is to be Christ-oriented in all that he does. Well, in brief, there's things we're told to get rid of. And I'm not going to read all the verses, but I'm just going to tell you what they are. Vanity of the mind, anger, wrath, corrupt communications, bitterness, clamor, evil speaking, malice, filthiness, foolishness, jesting, vain words, darkness, unfruitful works of darkness, things done in secret, lust of the flesh, cunning, craftiness, deceit. In Colossians, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications, lying, and in Romans, unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. There's things we're to keep, hold on to. Now, you guys are familiar with all this. Ephesians teaches us kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiveness, love, thankfulness, light, goodness, righteousness, truth, wisdom, respect, and awe for God, peace, lowliness, meekness, patience, forbearance in love. Philippians teaches us honesty, justness, pureness, loveliness of good report, virtuous of any praise. Colossians teaches us to put on the new man via the renewed mind, with innermost feelings of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness, agape, peace, and Romans, glory, honor, and peace. And so we see this smorgasbord of brilliant design. These are the emotions of the soul's expression that the Christian is to avidly hold on to and release every day. We're not to be apathetic, dead in our feelings. Rather, we are to be pathetic. I know that's a strange word today, but it used to be a good one. People who know the good of soul expression. Job chapter 14. We'll jump into a couple Old Testament verses. I hope this is exciting you. I hope this is opening up a new way to view Ephesians. What better way to live the doctrine of the heavenly-minded Christian, the one seated in the heavenlies, but to start with the soul, to bring unity to each member endeavoring that walk? What better way than to become masters of your soul and masters of your soul's expression? Job 14, verse 22, "But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn." The world is ready and waiting to beat you down so that your soul mourns. That was Job 14, 22. We are to walk a biblical Christian walk, thus avoiding the pain possibilities of the world as much as possible. Many people express this kind of mourning every day. The flesh is what has the pain, but it's the soul that does the mourning. Proverbs 16. I wouldn't be doing my job as a minister if I wasn't teaching the three parts of you, body, soul, and spirit. You must know how to manage your soul, and you must know your responsibility and capabilities. I know of no better place to go to than the Word of God. Proverbs 16, verse 32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." We must learn to control our souls by learning to control our minds according to the Word. Now back to Ephesians. There's many of these kind of verses, and I'm sure you could find them if you study this subject. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. "If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off the former conversation, the old man," you know, the one with the dead soul, the dead apathetic way of life, "which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust," which of course, remember, ends up yielding greediness. Verse 23, "and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Perhaps one of the greatest marvels of the renewed mind is to build a new generation of Christians intent not only on manifesting God's word, but also on expressing their souls with all the goodness therein. The old man allows you to manifest only a few emotions, mostly negative, a peep of happiness once in a while. The new man opens to you a wealth of expression, all emanating from the new man within you via the renewed mind. Verse 24, "and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." I trust that you're seeing Ephesians chapter 4 in a brand new light, a light of soul expression. Putting this on means deliberate acts of soul expression and thought. Oh, it won't happen without activity. It won't happen without hard work. It won't happen without putting the past behind and reaching forward to the new things provided to you by God. Philippians chapter 1. These people did it back in the first century church. And don't say they didn't. I know they did. I have proof. Philippians chapter 1, verse 8. "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ." Do you know what bowels is? I taught you that before. Innermost feelings. Splagnako, or some form of that Greek word. It means guts. But figuratively, it means innermost feelings. It is in these bowels of Jesus Christ where we are to find ourselves. Verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love, now where would your love come from? Your soul, may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. You've got to renew your mind, make the decision, and then let it flow. If you can't let your soul flow, how could you ever expect to let the Christ in you flow? That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. We have a responsibility to each other with abounding love, agape, to help each other manifest such sweet soul expression. This is not something you do on your own. What good would that do? We do this collectively. We learn to love collectively. We learn to express our souls because we're with each other and each other helps each other bring that out. We have a responsibility to each other with abounding love, agape, to help one another manifest such sweet soul expressions.
Love is always there, no matter where you are. His love is always greater than your fondest hopes and bigger than what you're afraid of. There is no heart so lost it cannot be found. There are no hopeless circumstances. There is no such thing as a God-forsaken town. 'Cause there are always second chances. Until this life is over, there is no point of no return. 'Cause everywhere you turn, yeah, His love is always there. And bigger than what you're afraid of. Wherever you may go, you haven't gone too far. Love is always there. Is no night so long it can stop the sun. Day can overcome the morning. There's no road so wrong it can keep anyone from finding home around the corner. Even in your darkest hour, even when it's more than you can bear, you've always got a prayer, yeah, yeah, 'cause love is always there, no matter where you are. This love is always greater than your fondest hopes and bigger than what you're afraid of. Wherever you may go, you haven't gone too far.
Back in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, and this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Verse 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing, where does the rejoicing come from? This is the sole expression, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. But it will take each and every one of us helping each other to bring this about. We need to change from being people of one or two emotions to those of many. Aren't you tired of those one or two emotions that seem to always surface? Be they anger, frustration, disgust, or worse? Wouldn't you want to be a person of great soul expression? One who has at his or her command that smorgasbord of free living feelings, joy, happiness, love, tenderness, and so forth? Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, meaning comfort, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any innermost feelings, what a call to move from the apathetic to the pathetic. What a call to stop suppressing the emotions, to start releasing soul expression of all things good. If any innermost feelings and mercies, if there's anything there, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. This is a together thing. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Isn't this the unity of the Spirit we saw in Ephesians chapter 4? For this to happen in a fellowship of believers, we all have to become like-minded with a unity of purpose. You know, we have a pretty good unity of purpose when it comes to speaking in tongues. We all believe that the dead die and await the return of Jesus Christ, the Christians. We all believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So we've got great unity of purpose along many lines. Why not have great unity of purpose along the expression of the soul line? Why not? Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having that same love, being of one accord, of one mind. This is the only way the comfort of Christ will manifest itself in this regard. Our minds, all of us, must be of one accord, that we all live a life full of joy, with our innermost feelings and mercies in unison. Philippians 2, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed. I don't know if you could put yourself in the shoes of these believers back then, but don't you think they went through the same things that we do? Can't you see this teaching that it's alive? Because it was such a need then, and it's also such a need today. People don't change. We all have the same needs as time progresses. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, demonstrate your own wholeness, work out your own salvation with respect and awe, fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God wants you to learn how to manifest your souls. It's so important to him, just as important as manifesting spirit. It is God who will work these changes within you. Start to demonstrate your emotional wholeness with respect and awe for God and all of his things. You will surely see his good pleasure manifested in your lives. Then move on to doing this with other people. Bring reality to the commandment to love God with all your soul. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And remember, it's the renewed mind that releases the expressions of the soul. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. It is now time to become diverse. Diverse in the manifestation of our soul feelings and emotions. Learning to eagerly express them to God, self, and others. It's time to refuse the worldly beatings designed to cause so much pain that the only possible result is apathy. Apathy is a natural man thing, a natural response to pain. The way most non-Christians walk each and every day. Christians are supposed to tear themselves away from apathy and become pathetic, in the true sense of the word, truly emotionally charged Christians in Christ, in God. Ephesians chapter 4, a verse I know you're familiar with. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You already know the context. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We're talking about expressions of the soul. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Is the message not clear? Is the context etched throughout Ephesians chapter 4 not startling? Ephesians 4 truly does speak loudly to soul expressions, specifically that we're to allow them to surge forward with all good emotions for the edifying of the body of Christ. Go to God with this, my friends. Seek His help. Ask Him to help you understand your need to express your soul. Don't be a man or woman of one or two emotions, the anger and the frustration that seem to settle in so easily. Ask Him to help you understand your need to express your soul. A Christian's expression of the soul is godly and should be expected and lived by us all.